Thanks, Cheryl. I sure have enjoyed listening to you girls this morning. it's just been fun. So thank you. I'm going to start with a song. I will tell you that I asked Inner Wisdom which song to play, and I said, "No, I played that one like last time or the time before, so you're not getting what I think I heard from Inner Wisdom," which was which was Let It Be. So if you want to hear Let It Be, you should go listen to Let It Be. But I'm over the Beatles. I think I played that particular song anyway. So here's what you're getting instead. Well, and then I came to this song, and I went, well, that doesn't really fit. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play this song. So here it is. Butterfly of songs and glasses high, a multicolored moons of love, like it's sad breeze. Love makes your heart feel strange inside, it flutters like soft wings in flight. Like a butterfly of orange and blue. I feel it when you're with me. Okay, apparently that was the one. So it brought tears to my eyes. I don't know. I don't ever know anything about anything. But yeah, anyway, that touched me. So I hope it touched you as well. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I can tell you that when I sit down to be with you guys, and for me, it's when I sit down to speak, it's a very devotional time, and just what washes over me at that time is beyond the character. So I realized that I spend a lot of time being the character, Jacqueline. But I like this better. Hang on a second, I just got distracted. Yeah, so, and I think I've heard Cheryl say this before, something about, or may, oh, you know what? This is Lynn's, the name of Lynn's program she had. It was called Back to the Garden. So, yeah, when I was thinking about songs, I was thinking about A song that would have absolutely been inappropriate to play, probably. Iron Butterfly. Ah, oh, that's the butterfly. Iron Butterfly in the Garden of Eden, right? In the Garden of Eden. Got to get back to the garden. So, yeah, I don't know what all that means, but, I'll just do my best to follow the flow as it comes out here. Yeah. Yeah, actually, the words of that song are really cool, and when they first recorded it, my understanding is he was drunk, and I don't know if they recreated the way it sounded when he was drunk or if that was actually the way that the track got laid down. But no doubt on acid. Yeah. And you asked about the meeting with Regina and the real estate agent Cheryl, and I will just say that we did get permission from the town of La Vida for a retreat center, and that we have made an offer. Not a retreat center, I keep calling it that, and it's not a center, it's a house. So we're just we're just waiting to see how that how things flesh out. Yay, yeah, it's exciting. So, all right, so let's, I don't know if during this program, yay, I'm on air, y'all. I don't know if I normally, pray or not, and I've actually done a talk about this, a Sunday gathering talk about this, but, prayer's a complicated thing, or it's an easy thing. Let me just sit with the ease of that for a moment, and because I do feel to pray, and by that I mean that I just really, really want to express my gratitude for everything, for all aspects of experience, even those that I don't normally remember to be grateful for. Yeah, thank you for everything. Amen. Okay, so let's look at this journal. Is what I've been doing, so let's do it now. And the first journal entry I have is from the 11th, and on the 11th, I'll read you the thought of awakening for that day, and then and then tell you what I wrote it, of what I wrote about it, what we wrote about it, right? Me and the inner wisdom. All right. Quiet the mind, be still, listen to peace. It too, this is thought of, wow, I'm a little squirrely today. This is thought of awakening number 169. So now let me read you the thought of awakening, and then I'll read you, like I said, what we wrote. Quiet the mind, be still, listen to peace. It too has a voice. In peace, there is all simplicity. In peace, there. I'll retype this and I must have missed a word. In peace, there are all answers, I think it's supposed to say. In peace, one finds life. In peace, one knows truth. How can one worry when life has no end? How can one fear when life is what you are? In knowledge of truth, guidance is provided, because in knowledge of truth, there is no fear of listening to the voice that knows of truth. And this is what we're. This morning's meditation brought back the desire to simply know the truth, and that is my prayer. I don't want bells and whistles. I don't want solutions. I don't want a magic wand. I simply want the truth. I recognize this insight as a paradigm shift. Funny to see it after all this time. There is relief here that I not want anything else, that nothing else is required. Smile. Father, what would you share with me about this realization? Releasing the requirements you would place on the truth is indeed a cause for celebration. Here there is rest. Here is the acceptance of all that is. Because all that is what you are. Here you have made room for acceptance of, capital S, self. So I want to read that sentence again. Because all that is what you are. Here you have made room for acceptance of self. To step back and watch life unfold is such a gift. Cherish this gift, for it is one you give unto yourself. No longer is there need to hold the breath in fear of what the next moment brings. Do you see how such anticipation, good or bad for that matter, keeps you from the experience of life in this moment? If you don't participate in life in this moment, when would you? The answer is, of course, obvious. Fearing or even joyfully anticipating the future takes you to a place that is not. As Rupert Sira reminded us, there is only ever here and now. To any other place is not to live. As Jan Fraser reminded us, there is irony here. To search for life or the meaning of life is to miss it. That search is like looking all over the world for a missing person, only to find that that person was always at home, always where she was supposed to be, if only one had remembered to look there first. It is that simple. You ask, how can that be? How can I have looked for 30 years only to find that what was required was that I stop looking? It is the nature of things. Ego always gets it backwards. Of course, ego would send you through the streets of the town to look where you cannot be found. That is what ego was designed for. To give you the experience of something other than the truth. If ego had said, just go sit in her house and you will find she is there, where would the fun in that be? Welcome home. Yeah, so a couple of comments went through my mind as I read that, but I felt like I wanted to read it in full before continuing, you know, before going back and looking at, before parsing it. But I'll do that now with your permission. Yeah, so the first thing is that what I had said was that I didn't want bells and whistles. I didn't want solutions. I don't want a magic wand. You know, I don't want all my problems fixed. I don't want everything to turn out fabulous in the end. I just want the truth. I want the truth for truth's sake. And I really do feel a shift in that. I said I had recognized it as a paradigm shift. And like a release of a burden, you know, like there's something I need to be that, I wasn't, you know, so I either had to get rid of some stuff, I had to offload stuff or onload stuff, right, to be that, and yeah, so there's relief that I don't have to find the hidden magic wand, or go through the steps in a prescribed manner. So there's relief in that. And let's see, this first line says, releasing the requirements you would place on the truth is indeed a cause for celebration. Here there is rest, right? Woo! Well, she explains the relief, right? Here is the acceptance of all that is. Because all that is what you are, here you have made room for acceptance of the self. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Well, last time I did the Sunday service, Jeff Foster was talking about it, and many moons ago, Mary Read was talking about it. Because we're working from a mind that is immersed in and created by duality, it's difficult to see that our best efforts are still steeped in this in these dualistic foundational beliefs, the if then if A then B type of thinking, and so what we do is we're like we find something within us or within the world and we go, oh, that's awful. Let me reject that so I can go back to the good part. Right? The good part of me or the good part of the world. And so, in our rejection of what we have determined is bad or unhealthy or whatever, unwholesome, I mean, whatever it is, whatever basis we've used to reject it, in our rejection of that, we're actually rejecting. The truth of who we are. We're trying to reject and eject and offload parts of either ourself or, well, it's all ourself, but parts of ourself or parts of consciousness. So rejecting these things is not the way to go. And I'm trying to formulate it here to say it out loud, because it feels like there's an understanding here, and I'm trying to articulate that understanding. It's really more a recognition of the meaninglessness. In truth of it all, of whatever it is that you would otherwise reject, right? It's like, oh, I have an attachment to that. Okay. I have an attachment to this, a smoking, or, these hate thoughts, or, this smartassness when somebody says, whatever it is, right? Whatever part of me that I've determined that I don't like. That is my experience. And that's what Jeff Foster was saying from that thing I read y'all, or Jay read y'all a couple weeks ago. It's already allowed in your experience because here it is, right? And all experience is occurring within me. So to try to reject it, it's number one, impossible. And it's also to divide, right? To divide me from the experience, it is to dabble in division, and of course, like being a little bit pregnant, that would be impossible. So the trick, if you will, is to embrace it as a part of human experience, as a part of consciousness experiencing itself. So, in the recognition that all experience is good, that's again, that's where the relief is. That's where the relaxation is. That's where the rest is. And inner wisdom again said, releasing the requirements, right? The requirement that it be a good thought. The requirement that good things result. The requirement that, you know, that everyone benefit, or I'm not going to even let it into my awareness. I'm going to go, ugh, right? Okay, again. Releasing the requirements you would place on the truth is indeed a cause for celebration. Here, there is rest. Here is the acceptance of all that is. Because all that is what you are, here you have made room for acceptance of self, with a capital S. To step back and watch life unfold is such a gift. Pardon me. Hey, Debbie, I'm teaching right now, or whatever we call this, facilitating a class or what, not a class or program. Can I call you back? Okay. Excuse me, just 1 second, folks. Hey, everybody, I apologize for that. Radio silence, right? That's my sister Debbie. She's been doing some stuff for me at the house that I still have back there in Louisville. They're looking at the electricity, blah, blah, blah. So I'll call her later. Apologies. Okay, so, yeah, to step back and watch life unfold is such a gift. Cherish this gift, for it is one you give unto yourself. And you know, who else could give that gift, right? Who else would say, and you know, Anne talked about this earlier, who else can say you don't have to be on top of every quote unquote problem? You know, you don't have to figure this out. There's nothing to be figured out. You know, no evil can befall you. Even if, you know, even if I experience, if I have something in my experience that is not the way I would have planned it, right? If you gave me the reins, there's no real damage done here. So to come to that realization is a real gift. In fact, you know, I can see how this leads into that idea of the search and stopping the search. You know, it certainly leads there from from what's written here, but it just seems the next logical step in this progression of this understanding. And inner wisdom said, no longer is there need to hold the breath in fear of what the next moment brings. Do you see how such anticipation, good or bad, keeps you from the experience of life in this moment? If you don't participate in life in this moment, when would you? And it says here, the answer, of course, is obvious. Well, yeah, it's obvious. If you're not in this moment, you're missing it. You're really missing it. The actual experience of life. And the actual experience of life is what I am. So hence this whole analogy about, you know, she was sitting at home the whole time while you're out searching the streets of the town or searching the world. The truth of who I am was in the moment that I couldn't allow myself to be in. But even at the end of this, at the end of this writing, it's funny because it's like it says ego always gets it backwards. Of course, ego would send you through the streets of the town to look where you cannot be found. That is what ego was designed for, to give you the experience of something other than the truth. That's what I'm going to go searching for, something other than the truth. The truth is here, right? Right here. If ego had said, just go sit in her house and you will find us there, where would the fun in that be? So you can see, even in this writing, it's about, it's like, ain't we having fun? Right? There's no harm done. Even if you've been, quote unquote, missing this thing for 30 years, there's no harm done. Haven't we been having a good time? Now, it may not have always felt like a good time, but that's all that's going on here. We've been experiencing experience. And yeah, that's what we wanted to do. That's what the mind is designed to do, ego or whatever you want to call that, right? It's what the whole apparent world is about. Ain't we got fun? Being asleep, and Cheryl writes, being asleep is easy and fun. And even when it, it feels scratchy or pokey or whatever it is, it's still experience. It's still fun. But we've done that, and we can choose to let that go. One experience at a time, and you see there's just such a subtle distinction between letting it go, which is actually allowing it to be as it is, which is actually embracing the way it is. There's a subtle distinction between letting it go and trying to get rid of it, letting it go and resisting it. Because letting it go means that you recognize the unimportance, the meaninglessness of what appears to be occurring in my mind, in my life, in my world. Without trying to get rid of it. The movie The Nines, right? Yeah, is that all there is? Yeah, Karen. Karen's. I'm blurting out random things. If you're all listening to this a little later, it's gonna sound weird. Karen Worth referenced the movie. I think she's referencing the movie The Nines. Yeah, and the song "Is That All There Is?" That's a great song. Yeah. Maybe we'll play that here in a little bit. Sure. You want to play that now, Cheryl? That would be great. You got it, or you want me to play it, or give Cheryl a second to play that song. Yeah, and then let me say while Cheryl's looking for that song that again, for me, this felt like a paradigm shift. And then the very next thing in my journal is like maybe from later that night where I had a little upset, right? But I listened to a talk recently that wasn't, designated as a spiritual talk, and the guy said, brick walls are helpful because brick walls let you see what's important to you. So, even with a shift in realization, the upsets, you know, the places where I'm not willing to apply this way of seeing. You know, show me my, I don't know, trouble spots, right? Show me where, you know, where my clothes get caught on the brambles.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out on the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all is." And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was all over, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze. If that's all there is." And then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks down by the river, or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day, he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep." I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. 'Cause I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is."
Thank you, Cheryl. That was fun. Yeah, that's a great song. Great movie by the Nines is an awesome movie. But yeah, is that all there is? And frankly, it's and I saw what Karen wrote on the board. She said, "Is that all there is?" To the ego mind. And yeah, to me, it just seems like, it's just like, okay, let's get on another carnival ride. I mean, really, that's all that's going on here. So you get a little taste of it, you do your little carnival ride, and then you're like, well, I'm going to need to go on another one, because is that all there is? I want to, anyway, I'm done. Analogy. All right. So let me then read you about the upset that occurred. I think it was that same night. Well, it must be, because I just drew a line here. I didn't put down another date, so it must be the same day. Later that evening, I said, "I am upset," because I was trying to be funny or hip or whatever. In fear I have hurt a friend's feelings. I texted an apology and have not gotten a response. Please help me understand why this is so painful. And here's the answer. There is nothing wrong with the desire to be liked. We all desire to know ourselves. And I said again, let me just stop there. There's nothing wrong with this desire, right? So I'm like, oh gosh, I'm out of this state that I was in. Oh, well, something's got to be fixed. So I appreciate this, right? First of all, calm down. There's nothing wrong with the desire to be liked. We all desire to know ourselves as love and desire that others know us that way as well. You have simply uncovered the I am bad belief. It will remain alive until you let it go. And I asked, how do I let it go? And the answer, first, be aware that this is the belief that drove both the desire to be perceived as funny and the anguish you feel over hurting someone's feelings. In honesty, you must see that you don't anguish about having hurt their feelings, but about how that will affect your relationship in the future. You feel you have been exposed. This person liked you and you blew it. Is this not what you feel? Do you see how you hang your hopes of being liked or loved on your ability to maintain an image of yourself of which someone else approves? Do you see that that endeavor leaves you open to disapproval as well? Be loving, and you will not need to judge your performance after being with friends. Being loving is nothing more than genuinely being yourself. Again, capital S, self. Fear not. You need not create a self to be liked. Just be. Allow others to be. You need not go in search of approval. You have seen the impulse to do so in this very relationship. This is merely a microcosm of the way you would relate to all else. Of course you want to be loved. You need not jump through hoops to get there. Treat your brother like you would treat me. Remember, there's nothing to earn, to win, to gain. Just learn to be, and to be only, not to be something. all is well, let the situation be. So it's funny because I hadn't read over this for a while, maybe at all, since I wrote it. So let me just go back and look at this a little bit. I really appreciated hearing, oh, what I was going to say. I'm sorry for being so scared. I really am. I had seen these two things as unrelated, and I see clearly now, reading it to you guys, the relationship between that first message and this one. Because I had gotten a glimpse that morning of this this way of being, of simply being, of not judging and dividing and basing my thoughts on that judgment and division, and you know, about just being. And then I see this message in the evening of that same day going, well, let me tell you where you messed up. You weren't just being. you know, you need not create a self to be liked, just be, and allow others to do the same thing. And that's love. Again, Inner Wisdom said, be loving, and you will not need to judge your performance ever. It says here, you will not need to judge your performance after being with friends. Being loving is nothing more than genuinely being yourself. Than allowing it, right? Allowing it. You know, without either trying to gain approval or fret about whether or not I was successful in that, right? Without trying to be the hip one or the witty one or the whatever one. Just be. It'll take care of itself. Just be. So I'm going to go on and read you the next journal. This was based on Thought of Awakening number 170. Let me read that thought to you. It says, how does one quiet the mind? One starts by choosing not to fear anything, the mind is saying. One watches each idea and picture with the intent to set that idea or picture aside and be still. And of course, what's interesting to me reading this now is it's you watch each picture. Good, bad, otherwise, right? This is not just here's a remedy for your fear, although it talks about fear, right? But believing any of these images and believing that any of these idea, thoughts, pictures have value is the creation of fear. So it's not just fear thought that this advice, this thought of awakening needs to be applied to. It's all of them. So again, let me go back to the thought. It says, one watches, okay, how, let me start at the very, very beginning. How does one quiet the mind? One starts by choosing not to fear anything, the mind is saying. One watches each, yeah, let it be, thanks, Karen. One watches each idea and picture with the intent to set that idea or picture aside and be still. One continues watching with this intent in place until the mind has become empty, quiet, and still. One pauses to listen to the silence. One feels the heart through the emptiness of mind. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that access gate is covered normally with the thoughts, right? Good, bad, indifferent. But again, it's that same thing that we heard earlier. I'm not present to heart if I'm, anticipating the future. If I'm worrying about, what happened with my buddies or what, even as it's happening. If I'm like, am I doing it good now? Am I cool now? Am I hip now? Am I saying the right things now? Right? With those thoughts and those needs to create a likable self, I'm blocking my own ability to just be. So again, it says, one feels the heart, the truth of who I am. One feels the heart through the emptiness of mind. One rejoices and has gratitude that a moment of peace has been given. And this took a weird turn. Not where I expected things to go. But anyway, it says, this is then what I wrote after that. Thought of awakening said, I see. And before I read this, let me just say that these comments are all mine, all right? Because they mention another teacher, and it's mentioned here by name, and I just don't know how to get to go around it. So just let me say these are my beliefs or my whatever, my crap I'm dealing with. They're my thoughts that I'm trying to undo. So please don't take anything away and go, oh, that's a bad person, that's a bad teacher. Right? You would have to form your own opinion about that teacher. But this is what I'm dealing with. So let me just, okay, now I'll just say, I see the idea of mind watching, and I see I have a Hoffmeister aversion to the idea. Mind watching seems like it is too involved in the story. I feel like my aversion is blocking something you would have me see. What would you have me see in the thought of the day that I am not seeing? And the response. Thank you for your willingness to see the blocks you create and to let them go. You need not be distracted by the language that is used. You know how this is done. You have been practicing this for several days now. The idea that the central theme of the ideas, plans, and pictures you find in your mind is none of your business. Is the same as the idea that is shared here. Continue to lose interest in this way by reminding yourself that it is none of your business and you will have done what I have asked. So, this first part is referring to these particular thoughts that I had, that I was, this particular tool that occurred to use when I had thoughts coming up that looked like they need to be thought about, look like they need to be worried about, right? Or whatever. It's like, you know what? That really is none of my business. So that was the tool that I was using, and that's the reference here. Continue to lose interest in this way by reminding yourself that it is none of your business, and you will have done what I have asked. Inner wisdom goes on and says, the more fruitful question here, of course, is why you continue to have an aversion to all things Hoffmeister. It is time to let this aversion go. What is it to you if this teacher is confused or leading others to or through confusion? First, you don't know that this is true. As I said in NTI, this teacher may not be for you. Or may not be for you now. To continue to carry the burden of resentment and to try to justify that burden through pointing to others who are being harmed is disingenuous. As we discussed yesterday, The other person or people in the story you tell yourself are not really what motivates you to hang on to your story. Your motivation is to justify your continued reliance on that particular image of yourself that you wish to keep. In this case, that you are a victim of someone else's manipulation. So it's not really about the other teacher anyway. Right? I'm just using them as a handy way to store things. Right? As a hand, well, you know, to use whatever stored there to justify my own actions, to, you know, as a place to deposit my fears. Oh, yeah, well, that's, you know, I wouldn't want to end up like that, right? Or whatever, right? See? So it's just a little cubbyhole, my experience that I had in that community, right? It's a cubbyhole. It's a shorthand way of dealing with whatever I'm dealing with right now. Yeah. Kathy says I do that as well. and it says here, didn't you just tell a story that demonstrated your attempt to manipulate a person or situation? And I won't go fully into that story. I'll just say somebody said, well, why haven't you done this or that? And I'm like, well, I want to wait until these other issues are resolved before I say this to that person, right? I mean, that's an attempt to manipulate the person, the situation. So anyway, that's what's being referred to here. It says, let your stories of Hofmeister go. You only keep them in order to have someone on which to project your blame, to project that which you would rather not look at in yourself. When you seek to blame Hofmeister, remember that you are using him, your memories of your time with him, as a current technique to fool yourself. It is time to let that device go. That is all. Amen. We got a couple minutes left, and I feel to read the rest of this. I think this is all part of the same idea. So let me just read it. Gosh, if I'd known what it actually said, I would have, but it is part of the same strain. But okay, so anyway, Regina and I had, we didn't have an argument. We didn't have a, she just said something that kind of hurt my feelings. Let me read to you what I wrote about that. I feel an upset around what seems to be going on with Regina. It was distressing to hear her say I was working too hard on Awakening Together stuff and not putting enough energy into healing. It makes me sad and angry. How would she know what I'm doing? I know she's right, but her saying it pisses me off. Does she think I'm not making progress? Not happy with her assessment. Seems like she's challenging my commitment. She said I need to ask more often, what would you have me do? You know, of inner wisdom, right? What would you have me do? What would you have me see? Now I ask, in reference to that, what would you have me see in all of this inner wisdom? And wisdom said, thank you for sitting down to write with me about this upset. You can feel the sickness of anger, you know, just like that yucky feeling, right? You can feel the sickness of anger inside of you. In fact, what feels like anger is really fear, masquerading as anger, so that you can project your emotions out from you onto someone else. We just discussed your tendency to do this. You think this is about relationships, and in as much as you see yourself as separate from those around you, the issue will appear in your relationships and will appear to be about your ability to relate in a peaceful and loving manner towards others. But I tell you, the pain and doubt and confusion you feel is not about anyone else. The only relationship at issue here is the one you have with yourself, capital S self. You know it is that you want, and yet you continue to resist the truth by pointing the finger at others. Only you can resolve the unrest you find in your heart. You can only do this by doing exactly, all caps, what has been suggested. You must ask for help more often. You must return your focus to your purpose more often. You must rely on yourself. I've got a slash, self, little S self and big S self. You must rely on yourself to turn to inner guidance on a more consistent basis in order to experience peace and joy more consistently. Continue to watch your mind for judgments you make about others. As the tip said, judgment is merely investment in illusion. Remember that what seeming others seem to do or say or think is none of your business. Quit looking for meaning in what you think others think based on what they seem to do or say. You must see the judgments in your own mind and let them go. Be gentle but firm. The time for half-heartedness is over. We love you and welcome you. Blessings. So I'm out of time. I love you guys. Thank you for being here with me for the ups and downs and all arounds. Okay. See you next time.